Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to start out today's session by reading Ephesians chapter 5 verses 3 through 12 and 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's reread those last two verses. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now there are three subjects that have become taboo to deal with in independent Baptist churches and also in other fundamentalist Bible-believing churches. And those are the subjects of abortion, demon possession, and sexual perversion, and they are avoided like the plague. It has been many years since I heard any pastor or Bible teacher preach or teach on either of those subjects. It's been so long that I do not have a clue as to when the last time was that I heard any preaching and teaching on those subjects. And two of our previous sessions on May 11, 2026, we dealt with the murder of the innocent, the abomination of abortion. Today, we will start a three-part series that we have titled, What the Bible Says About Sexual Perversion and Sodomy. That will be followed by a single session titled, The Consequences of Sexual Perversion and Society. That is a total of four sessions on the subject of sexual perversion. I am not entirely sure when I initially wrote the documents that these two presentations are based upon, but I do know that the last time they were updated prior to today was November 10th, 2013. That's been almost 13 years ago. Today's date is May 12th, 2026. The statistics contained in the document and the presentation that we've entitled Consequences of Sexual Perversion and Sodomy that will be included in that presentation are somewhat dated, but the ideas that the old data conveyed are still 100% accurate. The caveat being that now things are much, much worse than they were when I initially wrote those articles. The reprobate politicians and judges in America have allowed Satan's surgeons, that is America's SS, to murder babies in the womb and to sexually mutilate those children who survive the abortionist's butcher knife. The wombs of reprobate biological mothers have become the slaughterhouses and killing fields for Satan's war on our babies, children, and our families. In America, we have gone far, far below the pit and den of iniquity that is described in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, where we see the following. Verse 28, "And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." That's Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. That is not the last time you will hear those verses quoted in this series. America has gone way beyond having a reprobate mind. The reprobates in America are willing to murder and maim in their pursuit, in their perverse pursuit of satanic sexual pleasure. Welcome to Satan's childhood meat locker. These satanic, vile, reprobate monsters are mutilating, chopping, slicing, and dicing our children. What are we going to do about it? Where is the clarion call against these vile, abominable monsters by Bible-believing preachers and their congregations? Frankly and tragically, I do not see it happening in America, because Ichabod has been written above our doors, because the glory of God has departed from America. Since the last update to this particular series, Satan has opened up a new front in his sexually perverted warfare against the family and against the church. Satan is using secular American political, education, and economic issues and apostate and heretical antichrist churches to promote the sexual exploitation and physical mutilation of our children. Not only are drag queen shows before children being promoted in public schools and public libraries, but they are being promoted by mainline satanic Protestant denominations. I do a lot of reading, and there is hardly a week that passes where I do not read of another apostate church embracing drag queen shows in front of children in their congregations. Drag queen shows in public schools are nothing more than state-sanctioned burlesque shows presented by vile sexual perverts before innocent children. They are grooming sessions for children presented by reprobates whose intent and desire is to sexually molest those children. The drag queen shows are recruiting sessions because the sodomites cannot reproduce of themselves. The raging fires of the sodomite agenda are consuming America. America has embraced the flames of hell in her burning lust and obsession for sexual perversion. What was a raging fire has become an inferno. What we are experiencing in America is Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32 on steroids. America's political, religious, military, and business leaders have embraced the sodomite agenda. It is the embrace of death in the arms of Satan. America's political, religious, military, and business leaders are openly promoting the sexual abuse and mutilation of children through gender butchers that call themselves doctors. Whatever happened to the powerless, high-sounding Hippocratic Oath? It has been trumped by the corrupt and almighty dollar. They know that gender mutilation is wrong, but they will not stop themselves from promoting it. none of them, including the political, religious, military, or medical leaders, will try to stop it. It is not just those that wield the knife of child mutilation, but it is also the shamans that call themselves psychiatrists and psychologists that promote this abomination of gender mutilation. Again, Romans chapter 132 states this, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's verse 32 in Romans chapter 1. It has become an obsessive pleasure from our reprobate American leaders in every walk of American life to push that which they know is an abomination to God. How is it that they know the judgment of God? Folks, they have a conscience and they have the word of God that they despise. In Titus chapter 1 verses 15 and 16 is a perfect description of our society and really most of our so-called Christians and religious leaders. Titus 1 verse 15 and 16 states this, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let me read that again. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Again, that's Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. We are living in an American generation that is almost totally defiled and unbelieving. Titus 1, verses 15 and 16 has a universal application to the unbelieving and false professors that claim that they know God, but their works reveal that they are liars. They are so long and deep into reprobation that their conscience has been seared to the point that they know what they are doing is wrong, but they just do not care. They cannot stop. They take a perverse, sadistic pleasure in it. It is as if they are shoving their abomination in God's face and daring God to do anything about it. How wicked does a society have to get to promote child molestation and mutilation? At this point in our history, I believe that America is the most wicked nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth, even when it is compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. She is worthy of total destruction at God's hand of judgment. At the end of it all, the most tragic victims of the perverted sexual revolution in America are its most innocent and vulnerable citizens, children and babies. It is reprobate sodomites that are pushing for the gender mutilation and molestation of children in our society. Children who are victims of gender mutilation are 7 times more likely to commit suicide. Listen to that again, folks. Children who are victims of gender mutilation are 7 times more likely to commit suicide. It is the perverted sexual revolution that has brought us skyrocketing rates of state-sanctioned murders through abortion clinics whose victims are brought to them by fornicating biological mothers and biological fathers who are without natural affection. As you will conclude later, God considers any sex outside a covenant relationship between a man and woman as husband and wife to be perverted sex. And might I say here at this particular time, if you'll go and look at a 1611 King James Bible and look at the title that's given for Leviticus chapter 18 in that version, and also in any reprints of it that have come out of Oxford Press and also Cambridge University Press, if you look at those, it refers to those perverted sexual relationships as unlawful marriages. Now, most fundamentalist pastors and preachers do not take fornication as seriously as does God. That is why they wrongfully call fornication premarital sex. In the matter of sexual perversion, America has gone far beyond the stage where she cannot blush. The prophet Jeremiah asks and answers the following question in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. He asks the same question in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12. Verse 15 of Jeremiah 6 says this, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Jeremiah follows that up again in Jeremiah chapter 8. In both cases, the cause of the wickedness in Israel was connected to the Word of God. In the one case, they were indicted for having counted the Word of God as a reproach unto themselves. That was in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. And in the other case, as having rejected the Word of God. That was in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The ultimate end of any society that rejects the Word of God is found in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 through 25. Let's go read those verses. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." Folks, I'll finish reading that, but what that paints a picture of people just grabbing that rope and pulling it toward them, hand over fist, one after another. That's the picture that we're seeing presented in Isaiah chapter 5. Let's restart in verse 18 again of Isaiah chapter 5. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills do tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And if folks, that's Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 through 25. And that hand stretched out still is still stretched out in judgment. And I would say about that, welcome to America, where every good thing is called evil and every evil thing is called good, and the Word of God is despised. There is no society any more wicked than the one where the society as a whole will not stand against politicians and medical hitmen who call themselves doctors, who openly advocate for the post-birth murder of a baby. Again, welcome to America. All this is the price that America is paying for her obsession and pleasure in sexual perversion. Every time that America commits murder through abortion, they are proving that they hate God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. It is a detestable thing. At some point in time, I may take the time to update this article so that it gives a more thorough presentation of transgenderism, and child gender mutilations. In the presentation that follows, I conform to my normal habit of including the text of the majority of scripture quotations from the King James Bible directly into the body of the article that I have written. And I would encourage you to go and download this article from our website, which is located at www.earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. When I incorporate the verses directly from the King James Bible, and by the way, that's the only Bible we use here. It is the only perfect Bible in the English language. And incorporating the scriptures into the body of the document that we write makes it easier and faster for the reader to cover the material. However, I encourage the reader to keep their Bibles nearby so that they can get more context if they need to. What follows from here on is the original text of the document that I last updated on November 10th, 2013. The research for this presentation has left us feeling much violated after having conducted much research on the homosexual / sodomite agenda for the United States of America and the rest of the world. There is a variety of filth out there that is much more wicked than we had ever imagined. The wickedness of man is great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. Much of the reading that we have done has been revolting to the Christian conscience. The words wicked, vile, and an abomination are not adequate to describe the cesspool and sewer of depravity which mankind has slithered into with Satan. The gathering of some of the statistics for this particular series required that we read some very vulgar language and statistics that are not fit for Christian ears. In our article that we wrote, and we're going to be doing a follow-up session on this also, but in our article, The Consequences of Sexual Perversion and Sodomy, we document the trail of filth and violence left by these reprobates. We will not publish our sources here because to do so would run the risk of violating or offending some young Christian. This is not a topic to research for a Christian that is young in the faith. How it must have pained God to have to record in the pages of scriptures the deeds of reprobate minds. The focus of this series is to present what God says about sodomy and other sexual perversions. While conducting this research, this scripture came to mind. We've already read it, but we're going to repeat it here again because it bears repeating. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, which again states, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There is much that has been done in secret to push the sodomite agenda. Much more has been done publicly recently to push the sodomite agenda. It is a shame that a Christian must talk about the wickedness of sodomy and sexual perversion. The sodomite agenda is being pushed in our apostate churches, our public schools, our medical facilities, our workforce, our military, our government, and our entertainment, especially in our entertainment. This is nothing new for the Roman Catholic cult. Her celibate priests have raped and molested young boys for at least 900 years now and will continue to do so. And might I say that Baptist churches have been guilty of the molesting of children too, and in a couple of those churches they pushed that under the rug when it should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. There is no place for that in any church at all. It should be condemned, and when it is found out, it should be immediately reported to the legal authorities so that legal action can be taken and the people arrested and taken off of the streets. When we talk about Roman Catholic priesthood, the Roman Catholic Church has been sued time and time again, and they've had to pay out a huge amount of money. That, folks, is a fruit of their wicked doctrine of forced celibacy. If it were possible to gather the statistics, I wonder how many sodomites would tell you that they had their first sodomite sexual experience at the hands of a Roman Catholic priest, and even worse, at the hands of a so-called Baptist minister. Interpret that statement in the light of the fact that the three largest studies of child molestation prove that if a child was molested by a sodomite, that fully two-thirds, or 66.6%, 666, of those children would engage in homosexuality as an adult. Let me read that again. Interpret that statement in the light of the fact that the three largest studies of child molestation prove that if a child was molested by a sodomite, that fully two-thirds, or 66.6%, of those children would engage in homosexuality as an adult. In our society, sodomy has exacted a terrible price in disease, sickness, and violence. The statistics will both amaze and shock you. Listen on. In God's eyes, any sex outside the bounds of a scriptural marriage between a man and a woman, and let me state this, between a biological man and a biological woman, if it's outside of that scriptural bounds, it is perverted sex. That means that incest, fornication, adultery, pedophilia, pornography, bestiality, sex change operations, and sodomy are all perversions of God's gift of sex to married couples. God's definition of marriage is one man and one woman tied together for one lifetime in holy matrimony. What does the Bible have to say about sodomy and or sexual perversions? Buckle your seat belts, folks. This session does not deal in the depth with the scriptural doctrine of adultery and fornication, and that's bad enough, folks. Adultery is having sex with someone other than the one you are married to. Fornication is any sex outside the bounds of a scriptural marriage. Fornication can also be used to describe homosexual acts in the New Testament. The context will determine what is meant. An adulterer or an adulteress can also be guilty of fornication. There are some that disagree with that, but you can read it in the New Testament. Under Old Testament law, both adultery and fornication were offenses worthy of death. Adultery and fornication are perversions of God's gift of sex to scripturally married couples. The subject of adultery is addressed in the Bible at least 61 different times in 54 verses. Fornication is addressed in the Bible at least 44 different times in 44 verses. And in the process of this dealing with this particular subject, neither do we deal with what the Bible has to say about whores, whoring, harlots, and whoremongers. These particular sins are called out at least 91 different times in 88 verses. Adultery, fornication, whoredom, harlotry, and whoremongering will all send you to hell if you do not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin. However, what follows in the remainder of these sessions that we'll be doing on this subject deals with what God has to say about a heinous form of sexual perversion known as sodomy. The Bible calls it sodomy. Our society uses a clinical term for it and refers to it as homosexuality. But in the Bible, it's sodomy. And when you deal with this particular subject, you need to use the Bible term for it. Okay, next up, a biblical presentation on what the Bible says about sexual perversion. Any one sin that is not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will send sinners to hell. God hates all sin, but according to the Bible, God has an especially strong hatred of sexual perversion. Bestiality, sodomy, which some call homosexual, and cross-dressing or transgender dressing are the only sexual sins that God specifically refers to as an abomination. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 30, Leviticus 20, verse 13, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, and 1 Kings 14, 24 to verify that statement. An abomination is something that is utterly detestable to God. Mankind's sins of bestiality and sodomy, which is clinically called homosexuality, have brought down upon mankind the most destructive judgment of God recorded in the Bible. Three of those events include the worldwide flood of Genesis chapter 6, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and more in Genesis chapter 19, and the destruction of 65,000 Jews in Judges chapters 19 through 21. The Lord Jesus Christ stated in Luke 19 verse 27 that there was another destruction coming for the very same reasons. Another judgment coming, folks. This passage will be discussed later on in conjunction with Genesis chapter 6, 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3, and the book of Jude. The 10 tribes in the north, that is Israel, were always under judgment of God because of their idolatry and the abominations associated with it. God cursed those tribes because of their wickedness. They went into captivity much sooner than did Judah. Judah was also wicked, but nearly as bad as Israel was. There are three kings in the history of Judah that prove that any time the kings broke down the idols and removed sodomy out of the land, that they came under the mighty hand of God and His blessing. Because Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, great revival was experienced throughout the land. We are convinced that this was so for the reign of Hezekiah also, but we could not find any specific references to sodomy during the period of the great revival and restoration under Hezekiah. In the King James Bible, there are at least 22 separate scriptures that deal with sodomy and or sexual perversion, including cross-dressing, which, by the way, cross-dressing is rooted, or the transgender movement is rooted in what started out as cross-dressing. Now, the 22 separate scriptures that I just referred to include Genesis 19, Exodus 22, verse 19, Leviticus 18, verse 22, Leviticus 18, verse 23, Leviticus 20, verse 13, Leviticus 20, verses 15 and 16, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, Deuteronomy 27, verse 21, Judges 19, verses 22 through 30, 1 Kings 14, 24, 1 Kings 15, 12, 1 Kings 22, 46, 2 Kings 23, 7, Luke 17, 29, Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Colossians 3, verse 5, 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, Genesis chapter 6, 2 Peter 2, verse 6, and finally in Jude 7. Leviticus chapter 18 identifies specific sexual sins, including incest, adultery, human sacrifice, sodomy, and bestiality, and we know what bestiality is. It's humans having sex with animals. Leviticus chapter 20 establishes the punishment for the sexual perversions of men and women that are identified in Leviticus chapter 18. Man likes to use the terms gays, lesbians, transgenders, crossdressers, and homosexuals to describe these reprobates. God refers to all these groups as sodomites. In God's eyes, the activities of these groups are not alternative lifestyles. God calls these actions sin, and those who participate in them, he calls sinners. In fact, God refers to those actions as an abomination. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to die for sinners, and that includes sodomites. Many sodomites, in attempting to judge their simple lifestyle, will tell you that they were born sodomites. Many want you to think that it is a genetic disorder. Nothing could be further from the truth. Sodomy is not a genetic disorder. It is sin. Sodomy is as much a sin as murder, adultery, stealing, rape, drinking alcohol, assault, and so forth. There is no biological link to sodomy. Many so-called scientists have tried to establish a link and have failed miserably. These scientists have put forth profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. It is blasphemy to accuse God of allowing someone to be born a sodomite when God has called sodomy both a sin and an abomination. If men and women are born sodomites, then God has caused them to sin. And that is blasphemy, folks. Buying into the idea that homosexuality is an inborn trait and therefore innocent and defensible would be like stating that murder, stealing, assault, and drinking alcohol are caused by birth defects. That would lead to total anarchy, folks. Homosexuality, or what we call sodomy, is not a civil right. It is a sin just like murder and stealing. Homosexuality will send you to hell just like murder and stealing will. Would you argue that someone has the right to commit murder? That's what you're doing when you say that somebody has the right to commit acts of sodomy. They are roundly condemned as sin in the Word of God. There is never any good mentioned in connection with Sodom, folks. The word Sodom occurs 48 times in the King James Bible. Sodom is first mentioned in Genesis 10:19 in connection with its being a city of Ham's son, Canaan. Remember from Genesis 9, verse 25, that a curse had already been pronounced upon Canaan because of Ham, who was Canaan's father, looking upon Noah's nakedness in Genesis chapter 9, verse 22. Canaan must have had some part in this event for the curse to have been pronounced upon him. We know from Genesis 13, verse 13, that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We also know from Genesis 18, verse 20, that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was grievous before the Lord. From Abraham's plea to God in Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 through 33, we know that there were not even 10 people within the city of Sodom that were not given over to the sexual perversion of the city of Sodom. From that point on, we know that the city of Sodom was exceedingly wicked. It was so wicked that the sin associated with it became known as sodomy. Now, let us read the story in Genesis 19 of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, as well as Admah and Zeboiim. We see that documented in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23. But let's go and look at Genesis chapter 19, an extended passage of Scripture that is very, very eye-opening, folks. Verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out, and let me stop right there. That's in verse 5. Bring them out, that we may know them. They're talking about a Sodomite relationship with these men. That's what they want. And let's continue with verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came nearer to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun rose up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and perceived not when she, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger rose and lay with him, and perceived not when he lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabs unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon to this day. That is the entirety of Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 presents one of the most sordid events recorded in scriptures. Verses 4 through 7 describe a city that is almost totally given over to sexual perversion. The phrase that we may know him in Genesis chapter 19 verse 5 and the phrase do not so wickedly in verse 7 means that they wanted to know those men sexually. Notice from verse 9 that the men of Sodom were going to break the door down so that they could forcefully sodomize Lot's two guests that they referred to as men, but were obviously angels. Notice some other details in the particular passage that we just got through reading. Lot was willing to sacrifice at least two of his virgin daughters to the Sodomites outside his door. That says a lot of bad things about Lot himself. Lot also had at least two other daughters in the city of Sodom, because Lot seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That's in verse 14. In verse 16, Lot and his family so lingered in the city that two angels laid hold upon the hands of him and his family and set them forcefully outside of the city. They had to be forced out of the city, folks. Think about that. Number 4, Lot's two virgin daughters made their father drunk and conceived two sons by their father, Lot. And that was in verses 31 through 38. As Christians, it is hard for us to even imagine how a man could subject his family to the sexually perverted horrors of Sodom, lose more than half of his families to the horrors of sexual perversion, see the city of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction because of those horrors, and still yet conceive two children by his own daughters following that destruction. The offspring of those two incestuous relationships, both the Moabites and the Ammonites, became a perpetual thorn in the side of God's people. Israel was constantly at war with them. Number 5, the sexual perversion of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam resulted in the total destruction of everything and everybody in those cities. We see that in verses 24 and 25. And we also see it documented in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23. Now, we're going to close there for today. And the next session that we have, we're going to start out by dealing with one of the most filthy sexual perversions in the Word of God, and that is bestiality. Thank you for joining us today.